Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program, and that includes Growmark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto Roundup Ready Plus for weed management solutions. In this week's program, I'm going to share a conversation with the now past president of the Canadian Farm Writers Federation, that's Tamara Lee, Shiny Bird Communications, and then also the new president for the Canadian Farm Writers, and that's Lisa Gunther with Grain News. Let's start out listening to Tamara talk about her year as president for the organization. Tamara, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I work as a farm journalist. I also work as a communication consultant, and I work as a large group facilitator.
Tell me some of the types of folks that you work for and types of information that you work on writing.
One of the reasons that I work as an agriculture journalist is I believe it's really valuable to share the story of agriculture within the industry. And it's easy for people to get stovepiped within their specific commodity group or their region or their worldview about production or production techniques. And so what I'm looking to do as a journalist is to share stories and change the way that the industry is communicating amongst themselves. In terms of my communications consulting, I work with a group called the Investment Agriculture Foundation in British Columbia, and they're a funding organization that provides funding on behalf of the federal and provincial governments to industry organizations to pursue new market opportunities or new technologies and those kinds of things.
Well, you are or have been president here of the Canadian Farm Writers Federation, but now the gavel has passed hands, as I understand it. So let's talk a little bit about the organization, where you see it right now, and in the time that you were there in that leadership position, what are some of the things you think you've accomplished?
The Canadian Farm Writers Federation is a really exciting group for me because, like I was saying before about the work that I do as a journalist, I'm very much about community, and this is an exciting organization from a community perspective. We bring together journalists and communicators from across the industry, and that allows us to build the relationships that make telling the stories that much easier. It also helps move us forward in terms of our own conversations and to build the community and those networks. So we really need each other. You know, we need to understand what's going on. It makes me a better journalist when communicators understand how to provide me with what I need. It yields better stories for communicators who understand what journalists need.
Well, and you have this conference, which is an annual conference, moves around throughout Canada. It seems like just the social aspect of this, but you also have the professional improvement going on here, and kind of expanding your horizon to learn about agriculture in another part of the country too.
Oh, absolutely. And the Canadian market, I mean, we have a huge land base, but very few people. And so the more we can do to bring people together and work together to move the conversation forward, the better we're all going to be. Providing professional development opportunities is huge for a group that is really writing about a specialized topic. You know, and we hear a lot, and we heard today at our conference in our professional development sessions where speakers said they were really frustrated when they see mainstream media misrepresent agriculture or just not have any understanding of where to start. You know, if we have people working in trade media and talking to the agriculture sector, we need to know our stuff. You know? And this gives us that opportunity. You asked earlier about what I feel that I've accomplished in 2 years as the president here. And I think that we have been going through a period of tremendous growth. We hosted the International Federation of Agriculture Journalists 2 years ago, and that really launched our organization into a whole new level of growth and effectiveness, you know, that we're really coming together and maturing as an organization, that it's recruiting new members. We've raised the level of professional development that we've been able to offer to our members. We've been able to take more of it online and open up the opportunities by using the technology that's available to us to cultivate this community between the conferences. And so that's what I'm most proud of, and seeing some investment, you know, that now we're an organization that is doing better financially, that we can be looking at making strategic investments in the future of developing agriculture journalists.
That was, by the way, a wonderful IFAJ Congress that I attended, and really enjoyed it. It seems to me, being a member of a number of other ag communicator groups down in the United States, that some very common things I see. We're seeing changing technology about how we create or distribute news and information, which even today, traditional media companies, for example, are still trying to figure out how to implement this into their strategies, if you will. From a membership standpoint, has some of this changing technology presented any challenges or conversation internally about who can be a member today based on how they write or who they write for?
There's always a discussion about who can be a member. But it doesn't seem to be informed by technology. What we're looking at is how inclusive can we be? You know, not who are we going to keep out. That we want to keep people informed, because that really is our mandate, is building the network and informing the people who are writing about agriculture. So we want to bring in the agribloggers, and we want to bring in the food writers, and we want to bring in all of these people who are writing about the issues that surround agriculture, whatever their format is, to make sure that we're getting that story out in a comprehensive way.
Well, I can tell you that the agriblogger is very happy to be here at this conference this year. Just kind of looking forward, I know the gavel has changed, but you're going to still continue to be involved here. You mentioned investing in maybe new projects and things, because financially it sounds like it has been a good time. One of the things that we talked about this morning before we got started here was some of this, and I brought up the whole idea of youth in ag communications, and found out that, unlike in the United States, there's really not a lot of universities here that have programs to teach ag communications. Is that kind of present a challenge for who's going to be the next wave of ag journalists in Canada, do you think?
Yeah, it certainly presents a challenge. I personally, in my capacity with the Canadian Farm Writers Federation and as president of the BC Farm Writers Association, I go to all of the universities that have communication and journalism programs and speak to them about what it is to be an agriculture journalist. I also go to all of the agriculture programs and talk to their students about what it is to work with agriculture journalists. You know, so I think that, you know, cultivating those relationships is really important. And also reestablishing our relationships as an association with the companies and you know, the media groups, and trying to push the message out or to invite people in. It's less really about pushing out and more about inviting people into the conversation from more mainstream media, from our large urban press, to get them or to offer them the opportunity to learn more and to be more engaged in the conversation about agriculture.
On the side of ag in general, then, we've been experiencing some very good times in agriculture in the United States. You know, not necessarily every single part of the industry, but probably more than most times since I've been involved, which is more years than I care to say. How about here in Canada, or especially in the BC area? I mean, is ag in pretty good shape overall, or is it seeing some challenges right now?
Overall, agriculture in British Columbia is doing quite well. There was an announcement from the BC Ministry of Agriculture that came out last week that said that they had increased farm cash receipts by $1 billion in the last 2 years. I haven't had a chance to look at those numbers in detail, but there are certainly sectors, including the berry sector in British Columbia, where we're one of the largest blueberry producers in the world, where they are doing very, very well. They are also challenged, even within the blueberry sector, which is one of our biggest growth industries, by an oversupply issue right now. Our cattlemen face completely different challenges and have certainly since, you know, the first BSE outbreak in Alberta, never quite recovered the same way in British Columbia. So one of the things about British Columbia agriculture that is so exciting as a communicator is that it is so diverse. You know, we have a really varied landscape. We have people who come at production from really different ideological points of view. In British Columbia, they produce over 200 different commodities. on a land base that's only 5% of the province. You know? So we do a lot with what we have, but because it is such a fractured industry, because it's they're so far apart, sometimes politically, sometimes ideologically, often geographically, it's very difficult for our farmers to have a coherent and cohesive voice in government to get the kind of support and investment in the industry that helps it move forward. And so our farmers in British Columbia, particularly our ranchers and our grains and oilseeds producers, are really challenged when they have to compete against their neighbors in Alberta, who get a lot more support, either from a business support or a direct investment perspective. That's probably the biggest challenge for British Columbia farmers.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tamara, for visiting with me here. I know this is your conference, so you're still got a little while to go before we hit the end, and hopefully just, you know, a little bit more Starbucks, and you'll make it through, I know. But I have thoroughly enjoyed it. This is a beautiful area, one part of Canada I had not been to yet, and so I'm glad to have had the opportunity. Great conference here, and we will next hear and learn from the new president of the Canadian Farm Writers Federation. Lisa, I'd like to congratulate you on becoming president of the Canadian Farm Writers. Let's just start, first of all, how do you feel about taking the lead with this organization?
Well, I'm really happy to, actually. We have a really strong board, and it's a good group of people. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I have enjoyed my relationship with a lot of the agricultural journalists up here in Canada through whether it's been here or other organizations like IFAJ. So this has been great to spend all this time up here. Now, some people may not know you, so tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I'm a field editor with Grain News. We're a Western Canadian publication. So I mostly cover crop production and that kind of thing and a little bit of livestock.
As you take over the reins as president, let's look ahead a little bit here and tell me some of the things that are maybe top of mind, issues, things that you want to work on as I think this organization continues to grow and develop.
Well, one of the things a lot of it's kind of carrying on with the things we've been working on the last few years. One thing is we've drafted a communications plan, so it'll be implementing that. So we're looking at both internal communications and also raising the profile with mainstream media and trying to recruit a little bit more. One of our other big projects is a legacy fund. So we've accumulated a bit of extra money over the years from our annual conferences. And also GST rebates and that kind of thing. So looking at how to best spend that money and invest it for our members.
Yeah, we had that discussion during the membership meeting this morning, and I thought there were some very interesting ideas. You mentioned sort of the mainstream or maybe we'll call it non-ag media, the idea of somehow perhaps either reaching out or finding ways to help them better understand what those of us in the ag communication side is doing. I think that's pretty important today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's it seems like agriculture is becoming more and more of a spotlight issue in the mainstream media. So it would be good to connect with some of those reporters, maybe, you know, help them connect with sources or and also maybe speak more directly to their audiences as well.
Yeah. It sounds to me like the organization has really been into some good times lately. You know, with, like you said, to have this legacy fund shows that financially things are going well. How about from a membership standpoint? I don't know what the potential is out there, but do you see room for growth?
I think so. One thing that maybe not everyone would know about our organization is we include both, I guess, the traditional journalists, people that maybe do some journalism and communications work, and then also people that are purely on the communication side of the industry. Mm-hmm. So we have a pretty broad base to draw from in that way.
Well, you've got a lot of companies, some of which are sponsors here, like, say, a BASF or Case IH, my sponsor, thank you very much, and a sponsor of the conference. Even those companies and organizations, can they have membership at some level?
Yeah, you bet. If they have communications people, we're happy to accept them as members.
Well, we will certainly try to help encourage them to do so. Anything that as you look forward, that, because this is a 2-year position, if I understand right, mm-hmm. that, like, say 2 years from now, you'd like to say, wow, I'm glad, or I had hoped that we might be able to make that happen?
I'm looking forward to having some of the professional development aspects from the Legacy Fund implemented, hopefully, mm-hmm. in a couple years, and as well as maybe more recruiting more members and getting more of our members engaged.
Sure.
As well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to be able to come back maybe next year. Where are we? Let's do a little plug for next year. Where will the conference be?
So next year it will be in Prince Edward Island. And actually that will be our first Atlantic Canada Farm Conference. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I know they're going to put on a really good tour and professional development sessions as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping for the opportunity to come back up. Before we close here, a comment from your perspective. We're now just about to have the awards banquet here. How do you think this conference has gone, and sort of what's your impressions?
Oh, it's been excellent, actually. Yeah, they did an excellent job of organizing right from the farm tours yesterday and the professional development sessions today as well. It went quite smoothly, and we actually had really good weather, which is kind of a miracle for the West Coast this time of year. So.
Oh, it has been beautiful, and I hope to be able to come back and congratulate you once again, and of course, got to mention a plug-in for Case IH for making this possible. So thank you very much, Lisa, for visiting with me here at the Canadian Farm Writers Federation Conference.
Well, that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.